The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
The name of the lesson today, are you tired of being in the wilderness? God's people, Israel, went in the wilderness for 40 years. The wilderness was because they decided to be in the wilderness. They decided they were children of God and they could just go on day by day doing whatever they wanted, walk the way they wanted, succumb to the circumstances around them, and it was okay because they were God's children. We as Christians, I'm seeing the exact same thing. I'm not preaching to anybody but myself here this morning. If you get glean from it, praise God. But God's tired of our lukewarmness. He's tired of us just saying we're okay in the wilderness. We're okay accepting what the devil wants to give us. And I'll tell you right now this morning, I'm mad at the devil. I've seen some of the prayer requests come in this week, and I've just gotten really upset with the devil of what I'm seeing God's people go through. God does not want you to have to go through these things, but we have got to the place where we don't come expecting to hear from the Lord. We don't expect to see God's word work in our life. We pray, but we don't expect to see an answer to our prayer. If God answers, we go, praise God, but we aren't really expecting it as a body of Christ. I know that sounds hard this morning, but like I say, I'm preaching to myself here this morning. If you glean from it, praise God. Because this is just some of the things God has been dealing with my heart with this week. The children of Israel were the same way. They could have went in the land of flowing with milk and honey. Only Caleb and Joshua were the ones that believed. When you get to the place where you start believing, you start expecting from God, God's going to move you into the land of milk and honey. But it's your choice. Are you tired of the norm, as Eddie was talking about this morning? And we don't have to accept. I praise God for Terry's statistics, but I praise God for Pastor Ogden's prayer. It doesn't have to happen in this place. As Christians, we don't have to accept it. And it's time that we as Christians, we start expecting what we're praying for. We start expecting the best for our brothers and sisters, our youth, and our church. And it's time to start expecting that this church is going to reach the community. Quit accepting, well, you know, nobody wants to come. That's what Israel does. Well, God could probably move us in there, but them giants, you know, we can't whip them. God's telling us this morning to come out of the wilderness, but it's your choice. You have to come to the place where you say, I'm tired of the wilderness. I'm tired of getting beat up by the giants. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I'm done fooling with the giants. Become a giant killer, a giant slayer. Become a David. Pick up your stones, your slingshot, that which you're comfortable with, and start taking authority over the devil now in your life. Amen. Quit accepting the bad health. Quit accepting the things that Satan would throw against you financially. God's give you victory over. The Bible says Satan goes around as a roaring lion. He is toothless because Jesus pulled his tooth when he died on the cross. Amen. Praise God. Like I say, I'm mad at the devil this morning. I've been mad for a couple of days, and I've been in prayer, and God's given me answers. Amen. He's saying it relies in you. It's not in your mom and dad. It's not in your pastor. We got a great pastor. He preaches great words, but if you don't take it to heart, it means nothing. He's a lot of hard work on his and dedication on his part, but it's up to you to apply it to your life. And that's the way it was with the nation of Israel. If you'll turn with me to Psalms 107. We got a lot of scripture here to go over. And by the way, this is hot off the grill because I just found out I was going to preach about an hour before the service. So praise God. But God's been dealing with me all week, so it wasn't hard to know what he wanted me to preach. Get turned to it myself here. Psalms 107, starting with verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has rendered from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south." It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's time that we start standing on that which we know God has delivered us. That which God has given us power over. God's saying it's time for us to start praising Him and to start giving Him glory. Because He's whipped your enemy on the north. He's whipped your enemy on the south. He's whipped your enemy on the left. He's whipped your enemy on the right. You got victory, you just got to start walking in it. And I'll tell you what, when you start trying to walk in victory, don't think it's going to be an easy ride. The devil's going to make sure that he's going to combat you. But greater is He that is in you, again, than he is in the world. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That's His word. That's His promise. We need to start expecting to see it to happen in our lives. Amen. He said they wandered in the wilderness. Now, we're talking about the children of Israel here. But it sounds like the church today. It says, they wandered in the wilderness in the desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Now, here's what's going to make a difference in this next verse and through the rest of it whenever you hear this word. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. We have to come to the place where we've had enough, and then we cry out to the Lord. And we start expecting Him. We need to come to church with the expectancy when the pastor preaches the word, it's going to have a benefit in our life. It's going to give us the authority over that devil because that's the word of God. God wants us to stand on His word. He wants us to challenge Him in His word. That's what pleases God, to know His children believe Him so much. They're challenging Him in His word because He's not a liar and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He's done yesterday, what He's done a year ago or thousands of years ago, He wants to do the same in your life today just as He did for the children of Israel and bring them out of the land of wilderness. Into the land of milk and honey. He said He delivered them out of their stress. Distress. How many here faced stress today? I do. I know I do. And every day I have to come to the place where I say, God, I give it to You. I give it to You because, God, You're the only one that can deliver me out of this stress. I'm tired of the norm. I'm tired of people say, oh, that's just the way it is in business. It don't have to be. You know, that's the way it is as a Christian. The devil's going to fight me, and I just got to accept it. You don't have to accept nothing. The Word of God says you got victory over it, that you don't have to walk in it. You don't have to receive it. You don't have to let it be authority in your life. God said you've got authority over it. As I was going through this week, praying for different ones where they was asking prayer requests and stuff, my heart was burdened. My heart just was hurting for my brothers and sisters in the Lord because I seen what they were going through. And I've been there on some of them cases. I know what they're going through. I know the heartache. I know the sadness. I know the things that the devil's trying to throw in your way to rob you. I know that the things that the devil tries to do to rob you of your finances and your health and your relationship with your family. But God said, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. He says, I don't have to accept that. I'm not of the world. I don't have to accept, as Daddy was talking about, the norm. I don't have to accept that anymore. Because greater is He that is in me that is in the world. He says, I've got victory over it. It says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That means I've got victory over it. He's going to give me the strength to overpower it in the name of Jesus. Praise God. But they had to come to a place in their life where they said, then I've had enough. Then I'm going to seek the Lord. And it said in verse 7, it said, He led them forth by the right way that they might go to the city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We just need to stop and give God glory, like I asked there before we took up the offering, for just who He is. Just for the fact that He's the God of our salvation. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, where He does another thing for you, that alone is enough to glorify Him for. Because you're part of the kingdom. And the trouble of it is, Joshua and Caleb, they knew who they were. They knew who God was in their life. They knew if the people of Israel would only believe that they could conquer any giant in their land. Do you know who Jesus is in your life today? Can you conquer the giants in your land, in your life today? Amen. Jesus said you can if you only trust and you only start expecting my word to go forth in your life. If you only start expecting me to work in your life. How many come to church, and don't hold up your hand, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many come to church really expecting God to do something that morning? Unless we do, we're just coming to church as a ritual, as a religion. The pastor works hard to pray, and he listens to the Lord, and he brings forth what God lays on his heart. There's no doubt about that. Great messages from the Lord. But if we don't take it to heart, and we aren't expecting to hear from God, that's all they are. They should be strength to us. They should be something that we can go out and bite rocks and take big hunks out of boulders because the word of God is so real in our life. Can you imagine how it feels for a pastor Sunday after Sunday and he preparing and yet we don't fully take what he's doing. He sees us walk in unbelief. I'm talking to myself here. I'm talking to myself. Like I say, if you glean from it, so be it. But God's tired of half-heartedness. That's what the nation of Israel walked in. That's the reason why they were in the wilderness for 40 years, because they weren't totally committed to the Lord. Well, I know God can do it. I think God can do it. I've seen God do it somewhere else or somebody else's life. Jesus said, I'm the same to yesterday and today and forever. If I'll do it for them, I'll do it for you. And it's time that we start believing it. Excuse me. Verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. Sound like the church? Seems like we're sitting in the shadows, bound in irons, not letting God have his way in our life. In affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the word of God and despised and the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought their hearts, or he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. There's nobody can help us but the Lord our God. The Lord Jesus Christ in our life is the one who can help us. He's the one that can give us the joy. He's the one that gives us the victory. He's the one that causes the blessings. He's the one that does the healing. But we got to believe and trust him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Excuse me. But anyway, we've got to expect everything from him. We got to come with expectancy when we come to the throne of God, expecting that we're going to see a movement of God. Well, not that, well, God, I think you can do this. God, I think you love me. God, I think that you could touch my finances. If you're a tither, let me tell you, God's promise is that he's going to bless you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's going to bless you. If you run a business, I know running a business, I have my up and down. I say, well, Lord, what is this? But God just dealt with my heart this week about that. It's time you quit doubting and start believing me to see things go forward. And as I have, I've seen God move in 2 days of what I've been a couple years trying to accomplish. I said, I've seen God move in 2 days what I've been trying to accomplish for years. It isn't until we get ourselves out of the way can we see God move. He won't move against your will, people. No matter what you do, you can pray all you want, but if you don't, your will is not to believe, you aren't going to see it happen. I'm a great, great believer of doctors. I condemn nobody for going to the doctor. It's a great, God give them a lot of wisdom to help heal people. But doctors are for sick people. I may not be feeling good, but I don't need a doctor. Jesus is my doctor. You say, you never go to the doctor? I got to admit, I do. But I try everything, and I believe, but I feel bad sometimes because I thought if you just waited another day or another hour, maybe you would have seen the healing. You gave up too quick. Now, that has to be a personal conviction there on everybody, but I just know that God wants to do more than we're allowing him to do in our lives. He wants to do more in the church than we're allowing him to do. But it's time that we start getting excited about serving the Lord. It's time that we get excited about coming to church. I'm always blessed when my three little grandchildren's come. We tell them, the first thing is out of their mouth on Saturday afternoon, we going to church tomorrow? Of course, they know we are. But sometimes their dad has to take them home because they got an 8-hour trip, and he has to have them back by 6 o'clock at night. And so therefore they have to leave. They can't come. But if they're here where they can come to church, when their feet hit the floor on Sunday morning, they're excited. Is it time to go yet? You know, and they've got their baths and everything on Saturday night, and they're excited about coming to the house of the Lord. That's the way we need to be. When we can't wait to get up on Sunday morning, get excited about going and seeing being in the house of the Lord, seeing our brothers and sisters, encouraging our brothers and sisters, and give a testimony of what God has done that week. How many of us has given a testimony lately of what God's done? You don't have to hold up your hand. Just from the heart. Has God done anything in your life this week worth testifying about? I hope so. If not, we need to do a heart check. We need to do an attitude check. We need to see where we are in the Lord. Where we're trying to run the show or we're letting him run the show. But then in verse 13, once again, that word then. Now, I've asked several people, and there's probably a lot of smart people here that teach the school and stuff can tell me what that is. I don't know an adjective from anything, but I always say an adjective, in my way of thinking, an adjective is an action word, so then must be an adjective and Carol says it can't be. It starts out the first of the sentence, but, you know, that shows you where I'm at. But anyway, to make a long story short, they had to start taking action. They had to quit being satisfied with where they were at, and they had to take action and realize that they are where they are because that's where they put themselves. We are where we are in our walk with the Lord because that's where we allowed ourselves to be. We've got content. We've decided the norm's okay. If I don't ruffle any feathers, I can just walk through this and kind of duck some punches here there from the devil. But, you know, I don't have to expect. Because if I start moving out for God, somebody's going to come against me. And you're right. I remember back years ago when I was saved, I had some people tell me, and my pastor quickly put that to flight. They told me, you know, just give your life to Jesus and everything's going to be all right. Well, I gave my life to Jesus and everything turned upside down. And I got to be honest with you. And when I move forward with God, when God's doing something in my life, I always go through a battle with my flesh, with my carnal mind. I'm always battling. But I just know, stand tight, pick up your stone, get your slingshot, shoot the devil in the head, shoot your Goliath in your head, the great giant in your life, and stand your strong and keep going forward. Don't retreat. One thing I learned in my military training, I was with a Ranger outfit, you never retreat. You take your enemy on, you look him in the eye, and you keep him, walk over him. That's exactly what you do. Make him die for his country. You ain't going to die for you. You're going over and get victory for your country. You want to get victory in your life? Look the devil straight in the eye and said, I've had it. I'm going to walk over you. I'm going to put you under my feet. The word of God says you're under my feet and I'm going to stand on it. And that's what the nation of Israel had to do. And he brought them out of the darkness and the shadows of death and broke their chains in pieces. I love that song that I don't know who sang. I don't know if it's Michael W. Smith or who sang that. The Amazing Grace, the chains are broken. That song just speaks volumes to me. I always get into the worship of the Lord when I hear that come forth. I always hear it come, and it just I get excited about serving God. And you know, I get excited when I come into the sanctuary to serve God. And if I'm not, I'm upset. I need to get something out of my life. You know, we need to learn to leave the outside on the outside and come in here and enjoy the things of God. Amen. When we come in and start enjoying the things of God and we leave the world out there, we're going to go back out there. We're going to face the world with a whole new attitude. We're going to walk out there victorious because we're full of God's word. Amen. That's where Israel was. They kept having to come to the place where they realized who God was. They realized that they couldn't do it their own. Have you come to that place in your life yet where you realize you can't do it on your own, or are you still trying to fight with the devil? Are you trying to say, I can do it by my own might? I'm telling you, you're going to lose the battle.
Because we can't do it.
And that's the reason why we as brothers and sisters in the Lord need to come to church with an expectancy and with a testimony that we can give strength to our brothers and sisters in the Lord to help them overcome a battle that they're in. It might be the same battle you just come out of. God showed you how to get victory over it. You can share it with them. Amen. Praise God. I praise God that Jeannie did not accept the fact that her husband's leg was broke. That's the way we need to start walking as Christians. That's the encouragement we need to hear in church to build up our faith by our testimony. They overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and their testimonies. And that's how we're going to overcome the devil, is learning to give our testimony and learning to listen to other people's testimony. Because God said, if I'll do it for them, I'm not a respecter person, I'll do it for you. And that's paraphrasing it, but that's what God said. Verse 15, it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see something running here? Both times so far it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, you men, you children of God. Give thanks to God. When we get in a thankful heart for what God's doing and what he's about to do, we're going to see God start really moving in our lives. That's when we're going to see ourselves delivered out of the wilderness. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Their souls abhor all manners of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. See, they was trying to do it on their own. The children of Israel continually tried to do it on their own. No matter what God done and how great of works he done for them, they still continue to try to do it themselves. Does that sound like us today? We see God do miracles in our lives. We see God do miracles in other people's lives. We see God move in the church when we say, well, that's for them. God doesn't work that way for me. Now, I've heard that out of a lot of Christians, so I know it's fact. Maybe you guys aren't like that. Hope not. But I'm just saying, we got to think about what we say and how we act. We got to think about how we're letting God move in our lives. We got to think about, is God number one in my life, or is everything else come in and crowded it out? And as a result, God has a small portion. I'll give you a little portion. You know, the Lord laid on my heart years ago, how many know that God wants 10% of your tithes? If you want to be blessed, you want to give 10% of your tithes, right? We're talking about money, right? Now, I'm going to lay something else on you. God showed me several years ago, it just wasn't your tithes he was interested in. It's your time. He wants your offering. When we get to the place where we, you know, that don't mean you go down, you figure out what 10% of your time is a week, and you give the Lord exactly that. That's the way we do tithes, right down to the penny. What if God counted your blessings right down to the penny of according to the way you gave your tithes? I just food for thought. But a lot of times, you know, we also, I'm going to touch some rocky ground here again. We also will give money to the Lord so we don't have to give our time. God needs you working in the church. He needs you to step up the plate to be that witness to, as far as putting your hand to the plow and helping the pastor. I'm a firm believer if the pastor has a need, he should have to do a lottery to figure out who's going to get to do it, because everybody wants to do it. Amen. I'm a firm believer in that. Okay, verse 19. Here we go again. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them out of their distress. You notice, each time he says he saved them out of their distress. God's waiting on you to call upon him so he can deliver you out of your distress, out of the stress, out of the foes that you're having come against you. He wants to be your Lord and King and kings and soon coming Savior. But you know, we got this idea that we don't get kingdom living here now. God wants you to have kingdom living now, and the pastor's preached about that, and it's exactly right. You shouldn't have to go through all the suffering if you start believing for kingdom living. But it comes right out of this mouth. Our confession changes where we're going to live with kingdom living and our thought life. We need to take authority over our thought life daily. and we need to walk. No matter what our mind's telling us, what our flesh is telling us, what our soul is telling us, we need to walk positive in the things of God. And as you learn to do that, you'll find that them thoughts come more and more under subjection to God every day, and you find it's easier and easier to see God move. It's easier and easier to see the kingdom living in your life because of the simple fact, you got everything under control. You don't, Jesus does. Let's back up and say that right. Jesus got, because you're allowing Jesus to have you under control, okay? And when we put Him and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit in there doing a work in us and we yield to it, we're going to see the power of God come forth in our life. We're going to see the things of God come forth like we never seen it before. When the children of Israel yield to the things of God, they were God's chosen people. Like I say, they walked half-hearted, but when they walked and they sought God and they seen and they subjected themselves to God, they seen the power of God over the enemy. And God says in His word, if your ways are pleasing Him, in Proverbs, if your ways please the Lord, He makes even your enemies to be at peace with Him. Now, how about that? That's not my words. That's God's word. Why are we walking around with no peace when God says all we have to do is make our ways pleasing Him? We can have total peace. What's it require? It requires us to come to a place called then, just as the nation of Israel did, and say, God, I can't do it. God, I need You to take total control of my life. I'm tired of the half-heartedness. I'm tired of the sickness I'm going through. I'm tired of the financial distress I'm going through. I'm tired, God, of just flowing with the norm. Well, they, you know, everybody goes through that. You don't have to. Where in the Word of God does God tell you that you have to go through what everybody else goes through? I challenge you, bring that to me next Sunday if you see it, because I want to correct it if you find it. We don't have to settle for the norm. That's what's wrong. The church has settled for the norm too long. We settle for the norm, we just let the Holy Spirit go right out. Because we don't want the Holy Spirit to come in, because that means we may have to change. We may have to do something a little bit different. Verse 19 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Here again, now He's to heal them from their diseases that would destroy them. And if God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, what's that mean? We can be delivered out of our diseases. We can be delivered out of anything we're going through because God's not a respecter of persons. He wants to be alive and well in the church today, but it all depends upon you, on me, each and every one of us in here, where our hearts are with Him. Do we want to live kingdom living, or are we satisfied with where we are now? I believe, and I told Tammy here before I come up here to preach, what God has been laying on my heart all morning is He wants to do a stirring here this morning. But each and every one of you is going to have to decide where you want to see God do a stirring here this morning. You're going to have to see if you want, you know, it's up to you to see if you want God to move here this morning. Because at the end of this service, when I get done with the word here, I'm going to ask everybody that will, that wants to come out of the wilderness, to come up. I'm going to ask all the elders of the church, and I see the pastor back there. I want the pastor up here, and we're going to, if you want to come out of the wilderness, we're going to pray for each and every one of you to be set free. But you're going to have to give a commitment to God to come out of that wilderness, that you're done accepting what the devil's thrown in your way. You're done accepting the norm. You're done walking half-heartedly. You want to see God's whole kingdom come forth in your life. That's what's going to make the difference. That's where Israel had to come to. That was Old Testament right there on God sent His word and healed their diseases. Here in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. It don't say we are healed. It says we were healed. That means it's already come full circle. You're healed by your profession, by accepting Jesus Christ, by walking with His and walking in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and putting His authority alive and well in your life. That's where you're going to see the healing. That's when you're going to see your victories come forth. But it takes you.
The pastor can't do it. I can't do it. Your wife can't do it. Your husband can't do it. But it takes you. You alone, God holds accountable to see the victory. You alone, God holds accountable to serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. You alone can be the one that helps somebody else get victory by being a positive person that God wants you to be, by being an overcomer God wants you to be. Somebody else sees your life. You're that so positive influence in his life, in their life, that they say, what caused you to get this power? Great opportunity to share and witness about the things of God. Great opportunity to tell them they too, if they've been born again, if not, they tell them how to accept Jesus Christ. But they too can have the victory by simply putting Jesus Christ first and yielding and serving him with all their heart, soul, mind, and spirit. How many times have we heard that in church, but yet we have a hard time with it? I've heard it ever since I've been a Christian. But yet I struggle with it at times. Like I say, I'm preaching myself this morning as well as everybody else. But God's tired of our half-heartedness. He's tired of us. And this week, as he's dealt with me all week, it just become an opportunity here an hour before the service that God laid on my heart. He says, bring forth this message. God's tired of our lukewarmness. He was tired of Israel's lukewarmness. But when they turned, they repented. When they reached a place then, they got tired of their own lukewarmness. They got tired of their own suffering. They got tired of not letting God do a work. But when they hit a place then, God delivered them of their distress. God wants to deliver you here this morning, your distress. He wants to deliver you out of the wilderness. He wants to bring you into the land flowing with milk and honey here this morning. That's where he's at. That's what he wants to do here this morning. And in verse 21, it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. There again, they had to come to the place where they started giving thanks to God just for his goodness, where he was going to do anything or not. Just for the fact that he is who he is, they had to learn to give thanks to him. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and the wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of what? Thanksgiving. We got to come to the place where we are starting to be thankful for what God's done and who he is in our life. How many of us really stop and really thank God when he does something in our life? Just food for thought. Don't hold up your hand. Praise God. But we got to get to the place to where we start being thankful for what God is and who he is in our life, where he does anything for us or not. Just for the simple fact, we're going to spend eternity with him. No matter if he takes everything you got. Job lost everything. He lost everything, but yet he still praised God. Yeah, he had some hard times. He done some murmuring. He done some complaining. His friends told him he ought to just curse God, or his wife told him he ought to just curse God. His enemies thought he was just full of sin. That's the reason why he went through what he went through. But let me tell you something. When you're committed to God, and God's who you want to serve, you want to lift Jesus up, and you're going to see, no matter what you go through, he's still the King of Kings of your life. You're going to see the victory. I'm not saying you're not going to have to go through a fight, because you're going to have to go through a fight. I don't want to stand up here and tell you anything different. You know, just I used to preach a message about, I had a pair of glasses with roses on them. They were pink, and the glass lenses were pink. I said, I'm tired of people talking about everything's rosy when you serve the Lord, and everybody looking through rose-colored glasses. And I kind of took from that country and western song, I think, I can't remember her name, but anyway, she said, you know, talked about looking through rose-colored glasses. And one morning the Lord, I heard that, and the Lord was laying a message on my heart, and I go up in front with them on. People kind of got some strange looks, I'll tell you. But I'm just a kind of person that if the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I want to do it. I'd like to say I'm obedient every time, but I'd be standing up here lying. Because sometimes I want to reason with the Holy Spirit why I should do that. I'm going to look awful silly, God. So, I want you to do it. I've learned not to argue with the Holy Spirit, because I lose every time. I may think I won the battle, but I lost the blessing, so I lose. I lost the blessing by being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And when we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, we're going to see God move in our behalf, because he honors it when we move in the Holy Spirit. In verse 22 here, it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his word with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts a great trouble. Excuse me. they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. So we find out here, how many have been out on a cruise ship? Does that ship, do you ever have it waves and it causes that ship as big as it is still kind of be tossed to and fro? God gave me a vision one time of that right there, and I preached on it several times. God said, oftentimes we as Christians, we're like a bottle, and he kind of gave me the idea of a Coke bottle. You know, Coke bottle's big at the bottom, narrow at the top, and we showed we're like a Coke bottle in the water. The waves are taking it to and fro. The reason why they're taking it to and fro, because he was showing that's the way we are. We go to and fro. We don't stay stable. We ask God for a blessing, and he's getting ready to put it in the neck of that bottle, and the next thing you know, we're over here. We done moved away from what we asked God for. Or we moved over this way. Or we moved back. Or we moved forward. Because we're not standing still so God can bless us. We're not sure what we want blessed with ourselves. And God's trying to bless us, so he just stands there. You ever played that where you drop a clothespin in a bottle? That's kind of what what I guess I can line it up with the greatest, is the fact that, you stand here and you try to drop all them clothespins in that bottle. It seems like it could be an easy thing to do, but I miss it more than I hit it when we used to play that when I was younger. And, of course, I know a lot of people are a whole lot more coordinated than I am, but God never misses. Amen. He never misses. That's the point I want to bring forth. I miss, but God never misses. When you pray, you ask, and you got a sincere heart, and you're totally seeking God, you're going to get that blessing. You just got to be patient. And that's a whole other message right there. We won't get into that. And verse 28, here it comes again. It says, then, they see all these storms. They've been all this stuff, and we see all these storms in our life. But it isn't until we get to the place called then, we realize, God, I've been trying to do this myself. I need you to come and do this for me. That's when we start seeing the difference. Then they cried out to the Lord. They're in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. Once again. When they humble themselves and pray, God brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. How many this morning's got waves that's trying to overtake them here? Where you're at in the wilderness, God doesn't want you to be there. I'm not saying he's not letting a trial come your way, that you don't have trials, but nothing will overtake you that God doesn't want, except you let overtake you. Because in the name of Jesus, you have power over the devil or any situation in your life. But you're going to have to pray with earnesty. You're going to have to commit your heart to God. And you're going to have to want God greater than anything else. How many when this place, and don't hold up your hands, just food for thought here again. How many in this place this morning would give up everything you have to have a closer walk with God? Just something to think about. Does this world have such a hold on me that I prefer the things of the world instead of the things of God? And that's where we all have to come to. If we want to stay in the wilderness, and I don't mean God doesn't want you to have anything. God loves to bless you. Let me tell you, but if when you allow his blessings to be greater than him, then you got a problem. If God blessed me with a brand new Cadillac, that would be nice. I like a nice big truck, four-wheel drive, all jacked up and all that. That's the hillbilly coming out in me. But I would love that. But if he blessed me with a big truck all jacked up and four-wheel drive and diesel, and you know, you step on the gas and the smoke rolls and you leave everything in the dust and you go through the deepest swamp and still you can keep powering on, that's a truck. But when I allow that truck to be greater than what he is in my life, that truck has just become an anchor to me. It's become a problem. It's become my God. And I want to tell you a little story. I know we're getting close here, but in 1977, my wife and I had only been married about a year. I bought a brand new car. Loved that car. My wife was pregnant for the first child, and man, I'm going to do the dad thing. So I found that I was delivering with UPS, and I delivered on this car lot, and they had a nice car there. It hadn't sold. It was a real nice car, but it was a station wagon. Now, everybody thought that was hard to see Lee in a station wagon to begin with, okay? But my wife was pregnant for our first child, and I thought, it's time for me to be a dad. This is what I need. You know, I was pretty excited about it. Well, I get that car on a Saturday morning. I'm just really proud of that car. Made the statement to my wife that afternoon, if anybody comes within 100 feet of this car, I'm going to get out and knock them down. I said, I'll just knock them clean out. I said, I won't allow it. I said, you know, the first time I got a nice new car, and that's what I'm going to do. I was out my dad and mom's that night. It was the winter of 77, all the snow and everything. You all know what's going to happen here, don't you? Well, my sister wanted to take it out for a test drive. I said, sure, let's go. Well, it was just about dark, and you really couldn't see the lights. You needed lights, but you really couldn't see them. At the hill there, at the first hill going into my dad and mom's, they live about a half a mile back off the road on a gravel road, a narrow gravel road. We'd gone very slow. We met right at the crest of that hill. My sister-in-law and my brother was coming out. They forgot that we went out on a drive. Couldn't see. It's right 5'2", the road with the snow being the way it was 5'4". 5'2" put it on the inside of my left headlight. We met right at the hill. Couldn't see each other. We hit. And immediately God says, now is it still your idol? Hello? See what I'm saying? When we take something and we make it an idol, well, I was so proud of that new car. It didn't mean I couldn't be proud of it, but in saying, Lord, you know, I want to use this car for your glory, I said, if anybody comes within 100 feet of it, I'm going to knock them out. And I was serious. Here it is, my sister driving, my sister-in-law driving the other one. Am I going to get out and knock them out? No. God just made me eat a lot of words and a lot of pride. But that's the way it is. When we put something before God, if we're truly a Christian and we truly want to walk before him, he's going to deal with that. You're going to cause your heart to be dealt with about that which you put before him. So if we've got anything out there that takes precedence over God, God's going to deal with us. Excuse me. In verse 30 it says, Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to the desired havens. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. Now it says we're not only to thank him, but we're to exalt him in our life. That means that you got to give up everything else in your life and give it to God. That don't mean he don't want you to have it. God wants, he loves blessing you. But if you put it before him and you're exalting it before God, God's going to take it and cause something to happen that you're going to have to make a decision between him and what you're exalting above him. But God said each time we were to be thankful. Now he says we need to be grateful, or we need to be exalt God in our life. And I'm asking here this morning, is God being exalted in your life, in your neighborhood, in your work, in your school, in your home? Any place you go, can they see that God, that you are truly being led by God, and God is your all in all? If not, we got a problem. Not we. You and God's got a problem. But it's time. We're living in a country that sports are our idols. We'll do anything, including skipping church, to see the Super Bowl or see the World Series or just plain see a game. It's a good thing they don't have them on Sunday morning. We'd really be in trouble. Getting awful quiet in here. Awfully quiet. And I don't put anybody down. There's nothing wrong with watching sports and being active in sports. But when we allow it to take the place of God in our life, we got a problem. We got a real problem. He turns the rivers into wilderness and the spring waters into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wicked and those who dwell in it. He turns the wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. You see the contrast here? When we hold on to that, that's keeping us in the wilderness, he's going to turn our wilderness into the desert. But when we let go of the wilderness, we say, God, we prefer you above everything else. He's going to turn the desert into flowing rivers and wellsprings of life. He's going to make fruitful harvest for us. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where they are not, where there is no way. When we give our heart to Christ and when we want to come out of the lukewarmness and we want to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, he says he's going to put them people to flight. He's going to, what the devil meant for you, he's going to put up on the devil. He's going to make their wilderness turn into deserts. He's going to make their living waters turn to dry land. He's going to make their fruit trees wilt and die out. But he's going to bless you as you give your heart to Christ and you get serious about serving him. Then you get to the place to where he means more to you than anything else. When you get to the place in your life to where he says, I love you, my child. Just draw a little closer. Get into the water. There's a song that says, get in the water. Get in a little bit deeper. And deeper. As we get in deeper to the water of the Holy Spirit, we will find it's not hard to release the things of this world. We'll find it's not your wants and your desires turns to wanting to see your brothers and your sisters, your wife, your husband, your children, your neighbors. You want to see them one to Christ. You want to see God move in your community. You want to see God glorified in your area. It's not important about, you know, me. You die out to me. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he set the poor on high, far, far from affliction, and makes their families like flocks. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops in its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. He said, those who are murmuring against you are going to fall silent. They're going to find out that they have nothing to murmur because God just showed up and done a work for you and he put them to flight. This old saying, sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but words will never hurt you. That's the biggest lie I ever heard. I can tell you firsthand, and I'm sure you all can too. What comes out of our mouth and what comes out of the mouth of our enemies or those that are supposed to be our friends, sometimes I think my friends are closer to me or respect me more than what some of the Christians do because they won't say some of the things that the Christians do about me. But we got to respect God in each other's life. We got to quit being tellbearers of things that we hear. How many of us like juicy news and don't open your hand? Go on, well, lay my hand suddenly on you. No. but the thing of it is, it's easy to enter in gossip, into gossip at work, or you hear something you want to share at home, and you think, and you'll share it as fact. You don't even know. Been there, done that. And God's made me eat them words many a time. He's made me have to go to them people and apologize when they didn't even know I said anything bad about them. I said, God, they didn't hear it. He said, I don't care. I did. You need to humble yourself and go apologize.
One thing about it, I can preach here all day and several days in a row on the Word of God, because he's had to hit me over the head and beat it into my heart and make me go to people and apologize for just being stupid. And that's the honest truth. In closing here, I want to turn to Psalms 91. Before I do that, the Lord's laying something on my heart. He laid it on earlier today. And this is no way to be offensive. It's just that we need to check ourselves. If you hold a position in this church, God's saying you need to be serious about being there to fulfill that position. He's saying it's time for us in leadership to quit walking half-heartedly. If we want to see revival come forth in the church, leadership has got to get serious about serving God. We got to get serious about coming alongside the pastor. We got to get serious enough about wanting to see the church move for God. And God also laid on my heart that if we ever want to see a revival in this church or in this land, we got to prepare our hearts. We got to get out of the wilderness. We got to start being where God can use us. We got to start being free from the things of the world and let God use us the way he wants to use us. I know this sounds hard, but I'm just telling you what God's laying on my heart. We've got to get serious. We in leadership, including myself, we can't walk half-hearted anymore and think God's okay with it. And I don't say that to put anybody down, but it's just food for thought for you to think about. Where am I with the Lord? Am I taking my position in the Lord serious? And God's saying to all of us, if you want to see me move, it's time to move out of the wilderness. It's time to start expecting to see a move from me. It's time to start seeing and expecting my word to come forth in your life. It's time and have an expectancy to see things come forth in your life, the movement of God. When we all get in that attitude, believe me, revival's going to hit. It's going to be here, and there ain't nobody, no devil big enough to stop that revival coming forth when we give it to Christ. And we come out of the wilderness and let him have his way. Psalms 91. I've stood on that. Lord, give me this Psalms before I was ever saved. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Are we at that place where we say, God, you're my fortress, in you I trust? I'm walking under the shadow of the Almighty. God, I just want you to be more real in my life. And you know, God, I always prayed for more. God, I want more of you in my life. He said, you don't need any more of me. I just need more of you. And every time I say, well, get in that attitude to where I think I need a greater move of God, he said, I just need you to move greater toward me. When we get that way, we're going to see God move. With every eye bowed, or every head bowed, every eye closed, is this your day? Do you want to come out of the wilderness today? Is this day you want to see God move and set your feet on fire for him? Is this the day that you want to renew your commitment to God? Is this the day that you want to see that healing come forth? That financial bondage broken, that spiritual renewal come forth. If it is, come forward. And I want all the elders, the prayer team, and the pastor, come forth. We want to pray for you. Let's all stand. I know the message was kind of harsh and hard, but I can only preach what God lays on my heart to do.
And I know the Holy Spirit wants to do a stirring here among his people this morning. And the only way we can see that is you yield to him. Are you in a place of then you say, God, more than anything else, I want to see you come into my heart. I want to see you, God, have your way. I want to walk in your kingdom, and I want your kingdom to come forth in me. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to the pastor.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.